And his son was as one that was dead. It was, but now he's turned back. He's come back to us. Notice not just, I'll go home, my dad had food. He comes home with a lot of humility. I'm not worthy to be called your son. This is the way we approach God. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy to be your servant. I'm not worthy of anything you have, but let me just eat the crust that falls from your table. Let me just have the bread that your servants eat. And when we see in the midst of this, his repentance, when he came to himself in verse 17, he comes to himself, all of a sudden he realizes, life isn't as easy as it was when I had money. But as I'm reading this, I'm thinking this on a deeper level in the sense of what does it really all mean beyond the lesson? We get the lesson. I think we all get the lesson. I hope we do. But I almost see shadows of, he subjects the creation to vanity for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are subjected to a sinful existence. When I think of the faithful son, who would the faithful son even be in this world? I don't see anyone. Is it the Pharisees? Are they the faithful son? Not really. No. I don't really see them as faithful. Jesus doesn't count them faithful. He's always got bad things to say about them. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You don't go in yourselves. You're full of ravening and wickedness. They were wicked men. They were sinners in need of repentance, just like everyone else in the nation. There was no just person upon the earth that he could go to and say, there's no man that doeth good and sinneth not. So agrees the Old Testament and the New. If any man is reckoned as just, God is putting a measure of mercy in there. Like whenever in the Old Testament, if you read of a just man, it's like, yeah, well, there's a measure of mercy. And a bit of God winking at the ignorance of man. A just man may do what is right in his eyes, his own eyes. But God could still find fault with him. But men are sinful and need repentance. And so this parable, I look at the faithful son. To me, I'm like, what is that, the angels? It makes me think of the angel. I think of the angels as being the faithful sons. They serve with God long, They don't go off to the earth and waste the existence God has given them on sin and pleasure. Now, I almost think of that faraway country. It's like it almost makes me think of the earth. Like I'm almost ready to believe in pre-incarnation and all that. But it's a parable. I don't believe in that. According to the scriptures, we are formed in our mother's belly. We come into being in our mother's belly. I'm not, that was the first place you could look for me. Unless you're talking about in the mind of God. But we were subject to vanity by reason of hope. Of him, of the hope that he has, God, that out of this he may gather to himself something better. And I see shades of that in this. And I say that because as I was reading it, it was so strong in my mind. I saw the subjection to vanity. I saw the man all of a sudden coming to himself and saying, I need to turn to God. I've sinned against heaven. I see now, I'm not worthy of what he's given me. But if I turn to him, it'll be better for me to be the least of his servants than to be where I am right now. To be in this filthy place of wretched iniquity and sin. The way we live our lives. It's like, well, I don't see my life as being this wretched iniquity and sin. I think my life is all right. And I like my sin. I don't see it as wretched or dirty. Well, you haven't come to yourself. And maybe you never will. The whole need not a physician. I don't think people who want to get gay marriage as being sinners. They're whole. They don't need a physician. Christ isn't even sent to them. Because they don't even see themselves as sinners. And that's very consistent in the gospel. The people who don't think of it, who refuse to see their own sinfulness, God does not acknowledge them. He does not come for them. If God is going to come for you, he will first put in your heart this knowledge. You'll feel guilty. All of a sudden you'll come to yourself and say, what have I done? I've wasted my life on pleasures and sin, and I haven't sought that which is greater, eternal life, the powers of the world to come. And when he goes to his father is much more compassionate than he expects to see. Even when I read this, it's hard for me to think in those terms. I always think in terms of, I want to be your least servant. I want to get in there and just barely make it. If I could just sweep the streets in that kingdom, I'd be content. But God deals with us as sons and not as strangers, not as hired servants. You know, he comes to us like this, like a son that has gone astray. He loves his son. God's elect, when they come to him out of their sinful state, this is how he is towards them. And you can read about it in the book of Revelation too, in the promises to the seven churches. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I am sit down with my Father in his throne. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. You know, everything that Jesus has, we get. If there's anyone who is ever a faithful son, it's Christ himself, who suffered many things, who served long with God, never going astray. The Father looks at this as one coming back from the dead. He was dead. Dead in iniquity and sin. He was glad he was home safe and not dead in some ditch with the swine. And if, you know, the natural reaction of the brother is to be a bit jealous. You know, he says, hey, you know, I have kept your commandments. You never did this for me. This one who's devoured all your living with harlots, you gave him the fatted calf. He was hurt. I think rightfully so in the human aspect. It's natural to feel that way. But the Father consoles him and he says, son. You know, because he sees this extravagance given to this person who does not deserve it. That's the most important thing. It's not that, you know, maybe the Father never gave him the fatted calf, but it's not like he ate with him every day. Maybe he never get through some great celebration for him the whole time. But everything he had belonged to him. You know, prodigalness, sometimes I think people look at this and they rejoice. We rejoice in, on earth so much over prodigalness, but really Jesus is talking about in heaven. On earth, I want to see faithful men in the church. And faithful to this, faithful to repentance. We need. You notice there was behavior with the repentance of the prodigal son? He didn't just have a change of heart and then just lay there with the swine. He actually got up, picked his carcass up, and went back to his father's house. He's coming there with a new spirit. He has things to say. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your servant. I've sinned against heaven and against you. Well, when you say change of behavior, Paul, you're saying we need to stop sinning. We need, as part of the gospel, yeah, we need sin to stop. Because he that is born of God doesn't commit sin.